Hello guys, Jack here from Jack Makes Happy Hour podcast, and yes, the rumours are true, we're heading back out on tour in May 2024. 68% of the tickets are already sold out, but there are still a few left at Edinburgh, Newcastle, Manchester, Birmingham, Leeds, Cardiff, Sheffield, Nottingham, Bristol, Bury, and our home city of Norwich. So, don't waste any time, grab your tickets today, and come and watch me, Alfie and Robbie live.
And me.
Mainly me, Alfie and Robbie, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
HappyHourLive.co.uk. See you in May.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Jack Makes Happy Hour. Oh, it's a Thursday, guys.
Ooh.
Normally it's a guest episode, but do you know what? I'm enjoying your company so much, folks, that I thought we'd do another main show.
Whoa.
Oh, that's
give me a
nice.
Cuddle. Give me a cuddle.
That's nice.
Give me a cuddle.
I'm quite far away.
Give me a cuddle. Give me a touch. There we go. Lads, can I just say, I have had arguably one of... I've lived a very blessed life.
Right? Yeah.
I've not really had to deal with much trauma. I've had a lot of trauma.
You had a bit of trauma early days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out started slow out the blocks.
Yeah, true.
So you had loads of trauma, really. Most of your childhood.
Good point.
Actually, are you all right?
I mean, as an adult, I've had a pretty lucky life, yeah?
Yeah.
So I've not really, had that touch wood, had any injuries, any sort of deaths in the family. I've been quite good, right? So I think I...
You can't claim I've been quite good.
I've been quite lucky.
No one's died because I've smashed it.
This past week has been one of the hardest weeks I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Ever?
Ever.
Okay.
And people are probably going to mock me for this, but I have been an emotional wreck, guys, and I need your love and support today. I do.
Okay. Mm.
This.
Yeah. Do you want to say for the audio listeners?
Your finger.
My finger.
I don't know whether this is a real it's been bad or whether you're joking here.
I can attest it's been bad. I've been getting some worrying voice notes.
Right, okay.
Jack, so, very upset.
So the day I had an operation on it, right?
Yeah.
So it was twisted round.
So you injured it playing football,
Injured it playing football, yeah.
And your middle finger on your right hand.
Yeah, middle finger on my right hand. It's the middle bone as well of it, right? So and it was a spiral fracture, which is quite a rare fracture. It twists the finger the other way round, and apparently it's quite tricky to sort it. So I went to the hospital on Friday, and I think I really... because you know it's just a finger, and I broke both my wrists twice. It's not too bad. Right. Like, they just put it in a cast. That's it.
Yeah.
I think I really underestimated just how traumatic the surgery was going to be, because normally I'm asleep for everything. When I had these fucking ridiculous teeth put in, I was like,
don't call them that.
You just thought just no one's ever said that about their own face. When I had these fucking ridiculous teeth put in.
I made him put me to sleep. Like, he had to get an actual anaesthetist.
Do people do it not asleep?
Yeah, they just have
the ones who get the normal teeth, because they can go, hang on, mate, what are you doing?
When the lorry's backing up to me and they're bringing the teeth out.
And they're knocking down Stonehenge, go chuck these in, mate. I can say something.
Yeah, I was knocked out. But so I went to hospital last Friday, and it soon became clear it weren't going to be very nice, because they did a thing called a regional block. So I had about 13 injections in my arm.
Is that what happens with DVDs when you couldn't get it in?
Once? But lucky, I've got a Surfshark VPN.
So first injection, did that really hurt then in the muscle there?
No, it was the worst. I was laid down on this hospital bed, and then there was this lovely nurse. I've just got to say real quick as well, every single person at the NHS, I'm lucky I was only in for a finger. I can imagine there's lots of people that are in for a lot worse, right?
He said.
But every single person was fucking incredible, and we are so lucky to have the NHS. But I went in, I was laid on the thing. They had a nurse whose job it was just to speak to me, and because I overthink everything.
What, right? For the whole surgery? She just had to talk
in
to you?
In general, she'd been sat there since she joined. Nothing.
Jack's still not come in.
Missed a big time.
We're going to dedicate one person to the guy who's afraid of coming to hospital.
She is the least busy person. She's worked once in 30 years.
She had to speak to me a year ago when my ear blew up.
You know what? They get too much money. We just defund the NHS.
But I soon realised this is going to be pretty shit when I worked out that her only role was chatting to me.
Oh, to distract you.
Yeah. I was like, why? You're not doing anything. No disrespect. Like, I'm sure she does lots of other that.
You are doing fucking nothing for me.
But they had to put the blocking in the nerves.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So I think some injections are just sort of like in and around the area, aren't it? This was deep into the nerves. It was fucking horrible. Look, I've still got bruises or like in my armpit as well. Like it's bad, right? So anyway, they did the block and then your whole arm is meant to go dead. And I know we've probably all experienced pins and needles. I have never experienced something so weird in my life to have a limb that you can't move and like to feel anything of. And there was a really weird moment when I'm laying there and I'm sweating. I'm in a pool of sweat and the person who's given me my injections, she gets a metallic heavy ball out and she puts it on my good arm and she goes, can you feel that? And I'm like, yeah, it's freezing. It's been kept in the freezer. Then she puts it on the bad arm to prove that I can't feel the temperature and that the blocks happened correctly. Now, she put it on my arm. I couldn't feel anything. She rolled it down my arm, still couldn't feel anything. What? Then she put it on my finger and I could feel it. I could feel it was cold. Now, I didn't know if it was a phantom feel it or not.
Yeah.
Right? But I was like, I knew if I say I can feel it, I'm going to have more injections, which is shit. But on the other hand, if I don't say anything, they're now going to be cutting into that finger. So I'm really trying to think, you know, when you do an eye test and you think, which eye is bad? Yeah. Like, I can't actually work out. I'm starting to go, can I actually feel that? And then I'm like, yes, I just can feel that.
Yeah.
So I say to her, yeah, sorry, I can feel it. She doesn't believe me, but she's too polite to say anything. So she goes, are you sure? Are you sure? But let's compare it again. So she gives it on the good hand. Yeah, I can feel it. Then back to the bad hand. Yeah, I can feel it. She gets a male nurse to come in and he goes, can you squeeze my hand with my bad hand? And I just had full grip. So I just squeezed it really hard. He went, okay, yeah, we need to do some more. I thought, thank fuck I did actually.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if you were too polite?
I know.
They would have started chopping into your finger.
I was close. Yeah.
Alfie would 100% be lying there with his hand getting cut open.
To me, that's the equivalent of like, you know, when someone puts too much milk in your tea and they're like, is that all right? And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
And that's the mirror at the back of the head after a haircut.
Yeah. And then they rolled me through the doors.
Yeah.
I had to put my arm, I was laid out, I put my arm out. There was a screen up, so I couldn't see what they were doing. And obviously the surgeon who I'd already met sort of had to cut my finger open from my nail bed down to my knuckle, open it, move the bone around.
So you can't see any of this?
I can't see any. I caught a glimpse at
I'd want to watch.
How do you catch a glimpse?
Because
I would not.
Because there's these big round lights that almost have like round reflective sort of surrounds.
They
on them.
Shouldn't have reflective surrounds.
How can they? They can't help. It's not their fault, is it?
No, but you'd think that above a surgery thing, they'd put ones blackout. Mm.
What did it look like?
Oh, what the light?
When you could see the
no, your severed finger.
It's strange, I don't care about
the decor in the room.
what could you see of your finger?
To be honest, I caught a glimpse for like a millisecond and was like, don't like it. So it's just a big fleshy wound. But because they also, because you've got the regional block, what they also need to tie something on the shoulder to stop you from having blood circulation.
A tourniquet, is that what they call it?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Bang on. Now, so he's doing it. And again, there's another guy here now who's speaking to me for the whole...
Fucking hell, two people hired for that.
She's left me she does me for the needles. And he's talking to me for the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the surgery was an hour and 16 minutes. I know that because there's a big clock behind the wall and I was clock watching. Then...
Did they give you any sedative or anything like that to chill you out? No.
Not really?
No, just all in the arm. Yeah. Oh. So I am freaked, but I'm sort of quite composed. Like people...
you can't really tell that I'm nervous. And the reason I say that is because I had to go back to the hospital and I was freaked out, but that's a bit later on. So anyway, the weirdest fucking thing, which I will remember forever, when it's done, it's like a bit of a relief. It's like, okay, you feel like you're sort of like on drugs because of all the adrenaline anyway. They pull the sheet down. There's still a blanket over my arm. And the surgeon is probably sat where you are, Robbie, to me now.
Yeah.
He has in his hand this pure white hand, right? Pure white hand. And he's going, right, so you've still got functionality of the wrist like this. And in my head, I swear to God, I just thought he had a model hand, right? I thought he was just showing me how the hand works. And then he goes, and these are the stitches on your finger. And he turns the hand, and I can see all these stitches along. And I think, fucking hell, that's my hand. But I didn't know he had it because I can't feel. So it looks like someone sat here holding a hand that I didn't know was mine.
Did it freak you out?
I nearly passed out, yeah. I was just like...
What about that is freaky to you?
It's so surreal, such a surreal feeling of not knowing that's your body.
Oh. It's like the Addams Family, the little hand.
Literally, that's what came to my mind, and then so they took me through. I had to... there was a lovely nurse there called Claire who had to get me a cup of tea and some biscuits because I went white. And she was like, we need to get you
what,
some...
biscuits?
She gave me a whole selection, but she told me not to go for the ones with the cream in the middle, to go for the ones because they have more sugar or something. But I think I just had... You know them Viennese ones?
I love them.
Yeah, that was good.
They're quite... You've got a lot of sugar on them, isn't they?
Yeah, that was great.
Little treat.
Then it gets bad.
That was a good bit.
Yeah. I could handle it, right? So I went home and I had to hold my arm, which I didn't realise how heavy that arm is. Hold the arm, it's in a sling, and they've put like a cast around my whole hand, and it goes round sort of the thumb and the index finger and then round the wrist as well.
Now, it was like a big mitten, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Covered the whole fingers.
Now, I don't know if this is connected to OCD or health anxiety or what. I'm sure it is somewhere along the line. I have really bad claustrophobia, right? So I struggle a bit with lifts. I've got a bit better if I'm in a lift with someone. If I can't really go in a lift on my own. I think it stems back from when I was younger. I hid in a suitcase and my cousin pushed me down the stairs and I couldn't get out of the suitcase.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm no psychologist, but yeah, don't know.
Yeah.
And the time you almost died when you got trapped in a toilet in a service station.
Well, you know how bad my claustrophobia is. The lock in the toilet was jammed for about 2 minutes and I was freaking out.
I get claustrophobic, it's horrible.
Yeah. I have never in my life experienced as bad claustrophobia as this cast on my hand. I didn't realise how bad it would be. Because for the first 12 hours, I'm at home and me and Fee get Chinese and it's a nice little Friday night on the sofa. But as the feeling starts to come back in, I think, oh, that's what I'm waiting for, that moment. And then I just realised, shit, I can't take this off. Mm. And I know it sounds so petty because it is just on my hand, but I started to have like real bad panic attacks. Like I was going in the kitchen with knives and trying to get it off and stuff. So Fee ended up calling up the A&E at like 2 a.m. She was like, my partner's just like freaking out. And then there was this lovely, lovely guy up there called Dr. Cormac, and I need to shout him out because he was a hero to me. He said, bring him up the A&E now. He said, and I'll sort him out. And she was like, okay. So I went up there and I was worried about what he was going to say. He saw me. He took me in this room. It was 4 a.m. on a Saturday morning. I started to have a full-blown panic attack. I was shaking. I couldn't get it off. And I felt so silly. I felt like, oh my God, it's only on my hand. He cut as much of it off as he could that would still offer me the support that I needed. And he just sat me down and just like calmed me down and assured. And he said, one thing we can do. He said, it's quite hard to get you in for a specialist mold because a lot of people need them for things that are obviously a lot worse. And I was conscious it is just a broken finger, so I don't want to take it up. But he went out of his way to like email the people, get me in and get me seen. And within 3 days, I was back up the hospital to have that. So it was just like...
Do you feel better now?
I feel amazing now. I could have this on for months and months and months. But for 5 days... I couldn't think about anything else. I couldn't sleep. All I could think about every single minute was just cast on my hand.
It is a thing, isn't it? You were telling me that it is.
Yeah, Fee Googled it. I didn't know it was a thing. And then she Googled it and it's called cast claustrophobia. Yeah. And there's stories online of like, there's a woman who had her leg in one and she ran out into the street and was like cutting it off in the street. Because I'm so... Like, it's so weird. One thing that helped me, gave me a little bit of sort of like respite, I just had to keep going outside. It was so weird. I'd be on the sofa and I'd start to panic and I'd just have to go outside and just stand in the middle of the street for 5 minutes. It was like,
wow,
so bizarre. But shout out to the NHS because they really, really helped me. Every single person from the receptionist to the nurses to the surgeon, heroes, legends.
Unreal.
Yeah, bit of a serious one.
Yeah. Good though.
But there we go. Anyone else been up to stuff?
Mine's kind of sad as well.
Have you done a sad thing?
I got a tattoo. But it's sad.
It can't be as sad as my tattoos, mate.
No, it's a nice tattoo, but it's...
Yeah, I forgot. I want to see that.
Yeah, I'll show you afterwards. But it's on the Get to Know episode when we did the 25 questions.
Get those to know ones. Who?
Not my one. One of the questions was like, if you had to get a tattoo right now, what would you get?
Yeah.
And I said I wanted to get a butterfly,
which
is from an Ed Sheeran single thing, which is the least cool thing to go into a tattoo parlor and say, by the way.
Hey, so I've got Marion Mushroom, mate. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, I went in, they had like rock music on and all the tattoos on the wall were like all these really cool fiery dragons and stuff. And I was like...
I'd argue fiery dragons aren't they?
I don't know. It was the first one, pumas and stuff, like cool
pumas
animals.
Cool.
Yeah. And then I was just like, oh, I just really want this tattoo of a butterfly on my leg. But she was really nice about it. But yeah, I wanted to get it because of a song from Ed Sheeran, When We Lost Noah. There's a song that I basically just can't listen to now. And I finally got it. And it looks really nice. The tattoo artist that did it, Emma, is class and it's really like well detailed. But it was like 3 hours. And I'm honestly the weakest man in the world. And I told him that when I went in. I was like, I just can't hack it. And annoyingly, it's not his fault, but a guy that was working in there was like, where are you getting it done? I went, oh, on the back of my calf. And he went, oh, it's quite a painful place to get one as well. It pinches a lot when you get in there. And I was like, yeah great. Because I remember the one I've got, where I've got Noah written, I remember thinking, fucking hell, that hurt.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I need to keep it near Noah's name, so I'll just do that again. And I just assumed it was a shit tattoo artist because it was a rank place that I went to for the first one. It wasn't nice. It wasn't a nice experience. I was getting our son that we lost's name on my leg, and he was just talking about, like, fucking women and stuff.
Really?
It was rank shit experience. Me and Ariane were just like, why are we here?
My Saturday league.
Hey, come on.
Come on, we like them.
Yeah, that's nice guy.
So yeah, that was that. And then this is obviously a way better experience, but that guy was like, yeah, it's going to really hurt. I was like, oh, good. But he's covered in tattoos. And he went, honestly, mate, they're so painful. They're not nice.
No, they're not.
But they're worth it. I like the look at the end.
Yeah.
And I was, the whole time, I was just like, just proper grit in my teeth.
3 hours?
Yeah, it wasn't nice.
Did you have your head down in the table?
Yeah. I was just on my phone. I kept playing like this Tetris game and stuff, just trying to distract myself.
Yeah.
Because she was like, you've got numbing cream. If you want to put that on an hour before you come in, do that and it won't hurt as much. And then she went, the only thing I'm going to say is it will wear off whilst we're doing the tattoo. And it's kind of a thing that if you have the numbing cream, when it wears off, it's 10 times worse.
Oh, right.
So I was like, I'll just deal with it the whole time. But because there's some solid black bits in there, they were just killer. And I just didn't hack it. But right at the end, she was like, how you doing? And I was like, not great. I'd like it to end. And she went, well, we are finished. That's good. And I was like, fuck's sake. But yeah, I'm happy with it. I'll send you a picture of it.
Has
and
it
you
got
can
colour
put
it up.
No, I just wanted it black and white. The actual picture is blue, but I just thought I'd keep it black and white. But yeah, I like it.
Nice.
But it is sad. So hopefully we'll have some happy all caught ups at some point.
Yeah.
Have you got anything a bit sad?
Yeah.
Just life.
I got up this morning.
You went to the dentist?
Yeah, I went to the dentist. That was pretty rough going, actually. I don't want to overshadow you, but
I don't think there's anything that could pick this episode up now.
Hold on, you think the dentist was worse than his finger?
Hygienist. Have you ever had that done?
What does that mean?
Hygienist? That's not even any dental work.
It's just cleaned your teeth.
Yeah, that's nice. That's like a little massage on the tooth.
Is it?
What did he do to you?
It's like a little romba on the tooth.
He got these spikes and was like going in between my teeth and going...
Yeah, flossing it.
No, like...
No, it's a water jet. It's a little...
No. Oh,
I know,
no,
there's
no,
a stick
no.
as well, yeah.
A metal thing, and it feels like he's pulling your teeth out. He gets like right in and goes... And you can hear it really loud in your ears.
But he's not, is he? He's cleaning it.
Why did you have that?
Because, do you know, it's the weirdest thing.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, not the weirdest thing. There's probably weirder stuff that's happened. But I had this, like, ulcer thing in my mouth.
Yeah.
And it was causing me jip for weeks.
All right.
Every time I brush my teeth, it bleeds. So I went to the... I'm really scared of the dentist, so I was like, fucking going to have to go.
Nice.
They said there's nothing wrong with it. Gave me an x-ray and everything. I was like, what's going on?
An x-ray?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I pulled out of it a fawn.
What?
A spike.
That is the weirdest thing. No, you're right.
Why are you eating thorns?
I don't know.
Hold on. You had a thorn in your mouth for how long?
Like weeks.
How's it got in your mouth?
I don't know. It was a really thin little like spike.
It's thing. Like a splinter. You had a splinter inside
I
your
don't
mouth.
I know what it was.
That's because you eat all that veggie stuff.
Vegetables.
Yeah. That is mental.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it went down. All fine. Weird, wow.
And
it?
They couldn't work that out.
Yeah, I was a bit fucked off because I was like, well, what is this lump then?
Yeah.
And are she you kept sure saying, and not,
clinically, just... she kept saying, clinically, I can't see anything wrong with you. I'm like, yes, but use your eyes. There's a lump.
She's as qualified as Robbie's arse.
She's the same person.
Right. Wow.
I've got something that's happy.
Oh, good, right. Please.
Is it going to cheer me up?
Yes. It's going to cheer all three of you up.
Oh, okay.
God. Robbie, I don't want to shit on it, right? But I've had quite a bad week, so yeah. I don't think there's much that's going to pick me up.
Well, one of the rules for this is going to be that you can't shit on it, because I've been in negotiations, behind the scenes. We've got a tour bus for the tour!
Yeah! That's so inappropriate.
Yeah, the Adrian Fluxers, who gave us a tour bus before,
yeah,
they've come up trumps again. They're going to give us another tour bus.
Oh, that is
to travel around.
Oh, it's so much better with a tour bus.
It's the same tour bus. It's the exact same bit. We're used to it. We like it. But with a new wrap on the outside.
The exact same tour bus.
Exact same tour
bus. Amazing. As in same style of the exact bus we had before.
The same bus we had before.
That felt like
home. It's back. It's going to have new decorations on it.
Oh,
Alfie might get on it this time on the front of it.
Oh, on the picture.
Oh, yeah.
It's back on the legends at Adrian Flux.
Oh,
oh my God, we can play Fortnite on tour. Oh,
thank you, Robbie.
God, thank you for sorting
it. FIFA tournaments again.
Mr. Adrian Flux, we love you. And thank you for sorting my insurance out because I've needed it.
I love Adrian Flux.
Yeah. Thank you, Adrian.
Yeah, we don't give a flux.
No, we do give a flux.
We give a flux.
We give so much flux.
We give a flux about Adrian.
He won't want that.
He doesn't
as
want
advertising.
That. We've just lost the tour bus.
No, that could be the mantra. That could be the...
Yeah,
we're walking away.
So this is good because you've been chatting. I believe we've got Luke, the tour manager, returning. Is that correct?
Pickle Boy?
Yes!
Pickle Boy,
nice.
So that's good.
I forgot who Luke was then.
I saw him get confused. I was like,
so Luke is not going to have to drive, because quite frankly, he went the wrong way a couple of times, didn't he? And a lot of times, he can just chill out with us. He's cool. He's not.
He loves Fortnite.
Oh, he is going to get so many hand jobs on the back of that bus.
Well, not from me.
From us?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yes.
What do you mean, I don't know? Why did you say not from me? I don't know. Like, you're debating.
I said not from me.
No, you said I don't know after.
I do know. I misspoke. I do know.
Spoke.
Right.
Yeah. So people are going to be able to see the tour bus. Some of them might get to come on the tour bus.
No, we're not inviting anyone on the tour bus.
Saying, on the tour bus. There's nobody.
Can you remember
last time when someone put a tweet out being like, oh, I might go on the tour bus because someone had just left the door open?
Yeah.
We were going, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Right.
No one's getting
on the bloody tour. I've got my stuff in there.
Yeah, no, they're not. They can't.
One person on the tour can come on the tour bus.
It's going to be Cozy High.
No.
No, because now you've said that he's going to come on.
No, he's not. He's not. He's not.
Probably are. Right.
No one's allowed on the tour.
No one's allowed. We're allowed on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and three of us are allowed.
Luke's allowed on it. Good news.
Great news.
Good news. Really turned that around. Which was nice, but now it's happy.
Yeah.
Okay, so for anyone, tickets are on sale for the tour now.
Happyhour.co.uk. Go. They're almost sold out, for God's sake.
Oh, you said it quicker than I sold.
We're recording it in advance, so they might all be sold out.
They might be sold out.
They went on sale yesterday.
They won't.
This is bonus Thursday episode. Tickets went on sale yesterday, Wednesday the 28th. Thursday the 29th today, almost the 27th. happyhourlive.co.uk.
And a lot of people online, they say, we love the main shows. We would just wish you could have main shows all the time. Well, you're getting them today, and we've not skimped out on the ideas, have we? We have put blood, sweat, and tears into the effort of this.
Don't put pressure on me.
Stevie, what are we doing today?
Because this is all your idea.
This is so much pressure.
Yeah.
Okay, it's an episode I've said I've wanted to do for a long, long time.
No, we did the Darwin Awards.
Stop fiddling with the wires and being all nervous.
Stop bringing up the Darwin Awards.
You loved it.
So... what do people love? What do the audience love? Dream episodes. Think about it. Dream holidays. Yeah, dream theme parks. Yeah. Dream religion.
You cannot get a bad happy hour dream episode, no matter the topic.
No.
What else do they love? But you guys don't understand why they love it, but they seem to. They keep asking for it to come back.
Confessions.
Darwin Awards.
Urban legends.
Huh?
They love urban legends too. Nice. So I thought, let's take two things people love and put them together. That's never gone wrong before. Peanut butter, jelly.
Why are you trying to ruin
salt and vinegar? Two things people
love: vinegar,
sex and babies.
What?
Some people.
That's two things people love. He said, if you put two things together, people love, it's never gone wrong.
Sex creates babies.
Yeah.
Not with
educational.
Oh, I feel like I can't get to it now. So I took two things people love: dream episodes and babies. Urban legends.
Dream baby.
We were waiting on dream baby.
I guarantee dream baby would be better than this episode's going to be. Is that in your dream baby?
How's this going to work then?
So we're going to do dream urban legends.
Right.
You guys always slag off urban legends.
Not always.
Well, you've been already, as soon as I mentioned it, you got sad. Your issue...
Yeah, we got sad. That's not slagging it off.
He got angry.
Really?
Your issue with urban legends, you don't like some of them. You think they're shit. So I thought, think about urban legends. What are they? Stories that someone, if we're going to be honest, someone has made up somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
So what's to stop you guys from making up a better urban legend?
Right, okay.
If you think they're so shit, let's see if you can do better.
Right. What if we know we can't do better? Because
well, then stop slagging off all the other ones.
No, because if all the urban legends that everyone, all the brains of the world have come up with in all of history are shit, then what's the chance that the three of us are going to pull out three better than all of the ones ever?
They're not all shit, are they?
I think I back
Bloody
us.
Mary. Oh, great. Bunnyman Bridge.
Yes.
There's some great urban legends out there.
Scissor Man Tom.
Is that his name? Rougarou.
There's some amazing urban legends out there. And I thought, let's give you three the opportunity to create one better than the ones I've given to you.
Right. Stevie, so,
I'm not going to create one.
Stevie, you know you said, if we can't do better, don't slag it off.
Yeah.
Remind me what you were tweeting when Harry Kane missed the penalty.
I'd score a penalty, mate.
Right, okay, fair enough. Right, should we move on?
Penalty shootout of Harry Kane.
And hang on, I couldn't do... Hitler was a cunt, wasn't he?
Where are you going with this?
You've done sex and babies.
Yes.
Let's just leave.
You don't have to ask that.
Stop saying Winnie.
Just say he was a cunt.
Yeah, he was a cunt.
Yes.
Right?
No, not right.
Just say all right.
I couldn't do what he did.
What?
What do you mean, mate?
But that doesn't mean I can't talk about how bad it is.
Jack, in the last 5 minutes, you've talked about...
Right, let's move on then. But you know what I mean?
No,
move on.
Yeah. There's literally no one.
You know what I mean, though? We are allowed to say things are bad just because we couldn't do a better
version. But I'm asking you to do a better job.
You mean like film critics?
Yeah, so you can't say things are bad.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
Nothing like film critics.
So, anyway, I've got a select few questions and I want you guys to answer it. I think the best way for us to do this, I'm going to judge who's the best at the end as our resident urban legend.
What do we win?
Yeah.
Great. I'd like to set our listeners a challenge.
Yeah. Oh, why are you always giving them homework? There's always something for them to do.
Because
make this word become really popular.
The only other podcast I listen to is Peter Crouch.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And what they like to do on their podcast is something called Pass the Pod.
Yeah.
They do something to make sure it gets spread beyond just the listeners they've currently got.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We never do anything beyond. We do what we want for our listeners, but we're never pushing the boat out and going, let's get some new listeners in.
Right.
With this urban legend...
We'll do the same thing, pass the pod.
Yeah, I want them to pass the urban legend.
How is that going to benefit us?
The winning urban legend. I want them to tell the story to their friends
and
with
children.
No context. And children, context. They can't tell them where they heard it or anything.
So how's that going to help the pod if they're not to mention the pod in any fucking way?
Great marketing.
Because maybe...
It's just needless homework.
Yeah.
Because maybe in 50 years' time, they'll be telling one of your urban legends...
50 years' time? What do you think we're going to be here in 50 years' time?
We're all
we will be.
Jack will
we
be
might
dead.
Not be. He'll be 95.
Oh,
look,
God.
Because imagine in 50 years...
96.
They're telling... Imagine they'll be telling a story and they'll be going, oh, it's the true urban legend. And there's a new podcast in 50 years and they're doing an urban legend episode.
Right.
And they go, and then when they tell the whole story like I do, and then they get to the origin, it was made up on Happy Hour 50 years
ago. But how's that going to benefit us in 50 years?
So your marketing strategy for the podcast is a hope that in 50 years' time it gets mentioned on one podcast.
We might get...
And you want everyone to work towards that aim.
We might get a boost of listeners in 2074
as well.
We won't care.
We won't care.
Okay, maybe just pass the pod. Go and share it
tell
with
your mates. But also, yeah.
But maybe not this
another,
episode.
We need another word than pass the pod. Tell your mates, M-A-A-T-E-S.
No.
Tell your mates.
Shit.
Just tell your friends and family to listen to Happy Hour, please.
Hop Happy Hour. Hop it.
Let's not just...
Hop?
Hop it about.
No, just tell your mates to listen to it.
Right, okay.
Share.
Yeah.
Share the pod.
Share our podcast,
okay.
Please.
Okay, so, but not this so episode.
Good. That catchy
it's really catchy,
phrase.
Yeah.
Please, share the... God, share our podcast.
That's it. Yeah.
Sorry we have to ask.
Please, God, tell your mates about this pod.
But share, like, Monday's Moral Dilemmas episode rather than this one.
Yeah. Or the Darwin Awards, I've heard it's good.
So I think the best way to go about this is if we take it in turns.
Right.
So rather than me asking one question and then asking all three of you, we're going to go head first into one urban legend before moving on to the next. Anyone want to volunteer to go first?
No.
Okay, Robbie Knox it is.
Why me?
You said no first.
Yeah.
So why me? Surely I'm the one who least wants to...
Exactly, I want you to show some enthusiasm.
We want to win, so are myself and Jack okay to maybe pick a... few holes in it, should they?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
we're all
thank you.
Treat it like any other urban legend.
Yeah, but I respect Jack and Alfie though, so I don't want to.
Do you?
Well, that's fine. They want to pick at yours.
Well,
let's see if you respect
me, so you can't take it back.
Let's see if you respect them after they pick holes in your legend.
So we've all created an urban legend, and whoever Stevie deems to be the best urban legend, we want you guys to try and spread throughout time and make it have its own lore.
Yeah. And in 2074,
yeah,
people will listen back to this episode because of that.
Yeah. Okay. Got
perfect.
It.
And I'll be dead.
Question one, Robbie Knox.
Right.
What is the name of your legend?
The Tooth Bastard. It's not nothing to do with Jack.
Fuck
it's
off.
Nothing to do with Jack. It's nothing to do with Jack.
I'm close to walking out.
No, it's not. It's nothing to do with Jack.
I actually didn't think it was...
It's not.
It came. The Tooth Fairy came to my mind, but like a horrible one. Is there anything like that?
Oh. Okay, so the Tooth Bastard.
Yep.
I like
great
it.
Great name.
I like it.
Right.
Okay, what malevolent force or entity drives the legend? Is it a vengeful spirit? A cursed object?
What kind of a question's that?
Like, what? Well, what is it?
Well, I've written an answer, so it's all right. So basically, it's the scorned lover of the Tooth Fairy.
Oh.
They were like dating. She's like binned him off.
Or she's cheated on him.
No, she's not cheated on
him. Let him decide.
Not cheated. They just broke up. She's like, I don't think this is really working out.
Right.
Why though?
She
wasn't feeling it. It wasn't the chemistry there.
Why?
She's been very
She can't just fucking leave him. She's got to give a reason.
Yeah. She can't just move on.
Right, well...
Well, she is allowed if she doesn't want to be with him anymore.
Nah. Right.
So they were dating and they broke up.
Okay.
He broke up with him.
Yeah.
Right? At first, he started going to the gym and trying to better himself, but then he got into watching, like, weird alpha male YouTube people and became a little bit aggressive and, like, weird.
Like who? Who's he watching?
I would like to know because I don't know.
I generally don't know who you're on about.
Yeah.
You know those sort of types.
I really don't.
Any specifics?
Like, Andrew Tate. That's those guys.
Right.
Cool.
So those sort of people,
yeah,
he's got into all that and he's just become a bit of a cock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
What did he actively go out to watch Andrew Tate?
No, he started off, like, it was mates going, oh, come on, just go to the gym, bet yourself.
Yeah.
Then he sort of thought, oh...
Yeah.
Just got into this rabbit hole and stuff on the internet.
Yeah.
And it's a bit sad. His mates are
the algorithm's
vulnerable.
The algorithm's done this. Yeah, he was going through a tough time in his life with that. And then he's gone, fuck it, I'm going to become the Tooth Fairy's mortal enemy.
I really love how you combined it with an existing
real life.
I love it. I love that.
Thank you.
I really like that.
Thanks, mate.
Okay. What does the Tooth Bastard look like?
He's like a normal bloke.
Okay.
But he's
defined normal.
Just like a normal looking bloke.
Skin colour?
Irrelevant.
No, I want to paint a picture here.
But you said a normal bloke.
Yeah,
so
there's only one.
Okay,
one
he's a black Chinese man. just black gay Chinese man, just usual. Usual.
Okay.
Is that what you're after?
Yeah. I wasn't after anything. I was just curious.
Okay. Yeah. So there we go. Anyway, that's irrelevant.
So the Tooth Bastard, what does he actually look like?
So he's white. But he's spent loads, since the breakup, he's like spent loads of money on like designer clothes and that. So he's got like an Armani t-shirt that's too tight for him.
Yeah.
You get it.
He's got wings by any chance?
He's got what?
Wings.
Wings?
Yeah, like the Tooth Fairy.
Is he a fairy as well, or is he just a tooth bastard?
What is a normal bloke that's been shagging a fairy?
She's about 2 inches long.
Yeah.
What? No, she's not.
Yeah, she is.
No, she's
she goes
not.
Under pillows.
I she uses put my hand under a pillow.
She uses.
What do you think? She flies under the pillow.
The Tooth Fairy uses teeth as bricks for her house. How many is she going to need if she's a normal sized woman?
Fucking loads. That's why she's around every kid in the world.
That's a fair
point. If she's tiny, she'd just go around 20 kids and she'd be fine. She's got me on a fucking.
Yeah, map. But yeah. She's developed a sort of new build estate. So she's building lots of little houses.
Right.
She has her own world of houses.
When you hear fairy, you do assume small, like Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell, yeah.
Size. But maybe she has the ability to grow in size.
No, she's just normal size.
Right. Okay, she's just always normal size. Okay, you've changed the...
It's normal.
No, you've never met the fucking Tooth Fairy, mate. She doesn't know, do you?
You've changed the origin.
Yeah, because I was always
the most famous
urban
legend.
Point, surely. That's lost points. He's tarnishing.
Oh, you were being nice a minute ago. You were like, I really like...
I'm being honest.
Mm. Okay. Right. So he's a normal-looking bloke, really muscly.
No, not really muscly.
I thought you said he'd gone to the gym, lad.
He went a little bit, then he stopped, and now he's wearing he's still taking the protein shakes, but he's not gone to the gym. So he's a little bit...
He's just bulging.
The T-shirt's too tight. It's not a good look for him.
Right.
But he thinks, like, by having these designer clothes, people will think he's a success, when really...
It's superficial.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not the way he should be going.
I like it. Yeah. I feel sorry for him.
Yeah. I'm liking it so far, though, Robbie.
Yeah.
Where did this legend supposedly begin? Is there a specific location, historical event, or person associated with it? You've kind of answered that already. Did you write anything else down for it?
Yeah. He went on Twitter and watched some weird Andrew Tate video that a 14-year-old posted, and that's what sort of happened.
Okay.
And he got around the drag. It's sad. His mates tried to help him, and like, come on, mate.
Yeah.
It's just gone really badly.
Right.
Yeah. What I like about that is that most urban legends, because they're all told through time, there's not many now that involve social media.
No.
I see.
Slenderman did.
It did. So this is newfound urban legend. I like it.
Uh-huh.
What sparked the initial whispers and rumours?
Some of the Tooth Bastard's mates started noticing he's being a bit weird around women, really.
Okay.
And after a few drinks, he'd start to say things that were a bit more rank, and they were all like, oh.
What kind of things would he say?
Yeah.
I don't want to repeat them.
Oh, please do. Well, I'll be the woman, and then you say it.
No.
I've paid just good money.
Please,
just say the least bad
thing that you said.
Oh, so you've got no examples.
I wasn't there.
Points. Stevie, write that down.
Points.
I got it. Cheers,
lack
mate.
Of planning.
He just said he wasn't there, but before he said, I don't want to repeat it.
Points off, because I'm not going to be misogynistic.
Yeah.
Fine. I know the rules now. I will try and improve.
Bonus points for misogyny. Yeah.
Thank you.
Has anyone claimed to have experienced the legend firsthand?
Yeah, Why are we calling him a legend? He's a misogynistic
cunt. Yeah, Stevie.
You think Andrew Tate's a legend?
Wow, Stevie.
I like it.
Wow.
Has anyone claimed to experience the urban legend?
Right.
The Tooth Bastard firsthand?
Right. Yeah, loads.
Yeah, go on. Any?
Loads of people.
Loads of people.
Any standout?
Yeah. No, just like loads of people have gone.
No stories from it. Nothing.
Well, yeah, no, kids no have gone. Time. Yeah, the Tooth Bastard came around. You'll find out what happens later on.
Oh, okay,
right,
cool.
Right.
That's fine.
Right. Okay, minus points.
How has the legend affected the community?
It's more of an inconvenience than an actual problem. Really, as we'll become clear.
You did just say that loads of kids have seen him at their house.
Yeah, but it's not like he's not murdering him.
That's a problem, though, isn't it?
That's quite weird.
If it's a random bloke.
Yeah, but like, why is it like bad when it's a man and not when it's a female fairy?
Because she's a fairy.
She's a fairy.
She's leaving the money.
It's a bit fucked up.
She's that big. She's that big, mate.
She's not.
She is.
She's normal.
Can't change.
Nah, she's like a moth.
She's a moth. She's a moth. The tooth moth. That's literally what I've got for my urban legend.
Right.
Okay, no, it's fine, Robbie, if you've got no more to say.
Yeah.
Tooth moth.
Is it possible to summon the legend? Like, are there specific rules or rituals associated with the legend?
If you put a tooth under your pillow, it might come along.
What? So it's like a gamble. It's a gamble.
Yeah.
Does he have the power to know that there's teeth under the pillow?
Well, yeah, he's like stalking her on social media and seeing where she's like, post a photo.
What
going,
social media is she on?
Fairy book.
Fairy? That sounds like...
like what?
What does it sound like?
An adult website, a bit.
What
an
adult website?
No, just like it sounds like it could be one. Why are you pressing me so much on this?
Because we don't know what you're talking about.
Fairy book.
Okay.
Fairy pasta.
What's that?
Creepypasta. You just doing creepypasta, but with
fairy. I thought it was scary pasta.
No. No, it's not. It's not.
Fairy pasta.
Fairies reunited.
Fairy pasta.
Some fairies reunited.
Okay, right.
No, fairy Graham. Nice. Yeah.
Okay, but he's on these as well, even though he's not a fairy.
Well, he set up an account, but he's pretending he's a fairy on it.
Okay.
Like just a stalker. And she'll be going like, oh, wait, outside this house. And he's going there trying to get there ahead of her.
She's taking selfies outside.
Yeah, she's like going, oh, off to go and get some teeth from this road. And he's like, all right, I'll go ahead.
Well, she's doxing kids, is she?
Well, she sounds nuts.
She's got like a secure account on Fairybook.
Blurs the street.
So how's he got her then? She'd have blocked him, wouldn't she? Well,
now he's pretended to be a fairy.
He's pretending to be a fairy.
How did they meet? How did he actually get with a fairy?
Tinder.
She's the tooth fairy's on Tinder.
Yep.
What was her bio?
Fairy. What? To build a big house. Normal height. not moth size.
Normal height. But was she lying on her bio like Alfie used to?
Yeah. Well, no, only by an inch.
No, dignity. So. Yeah. So no.
Was she
only by an inch? If she lied by an inch, so she'd be
double.
No, she's like normal size.
Okay. Cool. So you can summon a legend by potentially putting a tooth under your pillow.
Yeah, and then. Again, not a legend, Stevie.
Okay.
But the tooth bastard might turn up.
How does the tooth bastard manifest itself? Is it through whispers, symbols, or is he physically there?
She turns up.
This isn't an urban legend. This is just a guy.
Yeah, I was well nervous about mine. I'm fucking buzzing now.
Some legends are just guys.
It could be quite simple. Not everything has to have a... All right, he appears in a puddle and comes out. Is that happy? No,
right, hang on.
She just turns up.
So in this world... Yep. If your kid loses a tooth, they put it under their pillow, and there's a 50-50 chance whether the tooth fairy comes or the tooth nonce or whatever his name is.
the tooth bastard.
Not 50-50.
What are the odds?
I don't know.
1 in 20?
Depends whether he's out that night or not.
Because he can't teleport. He's got no ability.
He drives up to their house.
Yeah. He'll roll up on one of those electric scooters.
How does he get in? How does he get in the house?
Same way as the tooth fairy.
Which is?
Well, the tooth fairy's tiny and floats through the window.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You can't go through glass. How tiny is she?
No, genuinely, Robbie, this woman is tiny.
Yeah. She can go through like the letterbox.
Yeah. She's like a fly.
Yeah.
She can get through a keyhole.
Sorry. She's so small she can go through a keyhole, but she can just carry teeth around.
Yeah.
Magic.
Oh, magic now?
Yes.
What, but being small isn't magic?
it's magic.
He just
appears.
He just breaks in.
Okay, so he manifests.
Lets himself in somehow, yeah.
What does he do when he appears?
I'm glad you asked, Stevie. Right, he turns up and he wakes the kids up and says, who have you left your tooth out for? And if the kid says the tooth fairy, he tells them that she's not even that fit and he probably would have broken up with her anyway and that women just want to control you and you're better off being single.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, depending on what the kid does to that, right. Different things happens.
What if the kid's 3?
Well... his teeth are falling out very early.
Okay, different things happens.
Okay.
What are these different things?
If the kid says, fuck off, tooth bastard.
Why is the kid saying that?
Or tells him to just go away and all this stuff, tooth bastard just call him a little cuck. Right? if the kid agrees and says, yeah, women do just want to control you, he says, I'll take your tooth in exchange to sign you up for some online course I'm doing about how to be rich and like bang loads of women.
For free.
That won't really work. Bastards University, yeah. So
have you just written Andrew Tate?
No. Just tooth bastard.
Okay, cool. Anything else with that bit? Are we good?
Yeah, so that's most of it, yeah.
Okay, cool. Is it possible to escape tooth bastard?
How about, does it have any weaknesses? You wrote that down.
Oh, I have it in the other order on mine.
Well, it wasn't in the order.
Okay, does it have any weaknesses?
Its own crushing sadness.
That's sad.
Yeah. That is sad. Can you escape it?
Yeah.
Don't lose.
There's
a
couple
tooth.
Of options. Either the kid can go, what, mate? And the tooth bastard will just go away. Can we have a response?
Wait. I need specifics. What? So not what are you on about, mate? Just the word,
anything
what,
like,
mate?
What, mate? If you act a bit confused, he gets a bit embarrassed and just goes away.
Okay.
Or... the child can ask him if he still loves the tooth fairy, at which point she'll appear and he'll just start crying and begging her to take him back and the kid can just go back to sleep while they talk.
This
or just
started
don't lose
out
the tooth.
So well. Yeah. The premise was so good.
Okay, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You've just written Andrew Tate.
Well, that's a bit different.
That is pretty much the last question. Other than, urban legends often carry a lesson or cautionary tale. What message does your legend convey?
Just that if people are being a bit horrible... it might be that they're just a bit sad and feel they lack agency in life and stuff. So just
that's nice. That what a great.
We should probably be a little bit considerate.
Hear, hear.
That.
Yeah.
And if you're out there, feeling vulnerable.
Don't be the tooth bastard. Be nice.
There we go. Be nice.
Because there's better things out there.
I like it.
Thanks, Stevie.
You like Andrew Tate?
No, I like the tooth bastard story. The story of the tooth bastard.
I would have preferred it more if it was a fairy.
Yeah, same. Yeah? There's nothing all magical right. about him.
No. All right, it's a fairy.
Okay, I love it.
Thank you.
You
okay.
swooned me.
Thank you.
Yeah. I like it. Well done, Robbie. I like
believability.
Believability.
It's not that unbelievable.
10. Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Scarability, 4.
What? There's a man going into the bedrooms of children?
Yeah, but if they go, what, mate?
And he doesn't hurt them. We know. Yeah, the legend is he comes into a room.
It's not just a creepy ghost. This is an actual normal man.
Yeah, but I think if you had children, right, and you went home and you saw a man in there, you wouldn't just go, oh, I'm less than averagely scared.
Because it's a legend, you'd go, oh, it's just the tooth bastard. He's not going to hurt
me. Oh, they know about it.
Yeah, you'll know about it.
Yeah, so if you went home on Christmas Eve and you had a little kid and there was a big fat man in there with a white beard.
Telling him about...
presents.
Misogynistic stuff about kids and stuff.
Are you going to be like, oh, I'm fine with that because I know it's a legend? You're going to go,
what's
what
the question?
He's talking about Santa. He's saying if you went home and saw Santa at the house, would you just go...
You're saying you wouldn't be scared if you know the legend.
Why is there a man dressed up as Santa in my house?
Exactly. And that's what you're going to be saying if you see the tooth
bastard. Why is there a man dressed up as the tooth bastard?
Yeah, you're not going to go, oh, I know.
It's like Armani shirt.
It is scary, but it's not as scary as like a demon, is it?
Right.
You just... stab him with a kitchen knife.
That's fucking horrific, mate.
He's broken into your house.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. You can't just stab a man.
All right, whack him
and...
over the head with a brick.
Thank God that's only 4 out of 10.
Yeah, where did you get your brick?
How scared were you when you got mugged? Out of 10.
2.
Yeah, but 100. That actually.
Right. And you didn't stab him then.
No, so I'm not saying I would stab him. I would run and
leave your kid there.
I don't know. But no, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't leave my kid. But I say someone harder than me would do something, wouldn't they? What would I do? That's a horrible thought. Really horrible thought.
Let's hear what you've thought.
It does sound quite scary, doesn't it?
Yeah,
that's what my point is. It's more than a 4 out of 10. Yeah.
10 out of 10 then.
Okay.
Both 10 out of 10.
I'll give you 10 out of 10 and maybe 6. Yeah. 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
Alfie, you ready to go?
Yeah.
It's just a bloke, though, isn't it?
It's just a bloke.
That's what I'm saying.
A little bit sad. I feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've done many urban legends where I feel sorry for
what makes this one so magical.
Yeah.
Okay. And cool. So, from Tooth Bastard.
Quite a sad episode all round, isn't it? Apart from the tour bus, it's been a bit tragic.
Alfie and Jeff.
Yeah.
What is the name of your legend?
The Gruesome Gull of Yarmouth.
Oh,
I see where he's gone already.
Just the bird.
Yep.
What malevolent force or entity drives the legend? Is it a vengeful spirit, a cursed object?
The Gruesome Gull of Yarmouth is the vengeful spirit of a boy trapped inside a seagull.
Now we're cooking. Oh, now we're cooking. Because I was going to pick holes in it and I was going to say, Stevie, if there was a gruesome gull of Inverness... I wouldn't be telling anyone. I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
It's of Inverness. Mm-hmm. But now it's a little boy within a gull's body.
Mm. I like it.
Got me.
It gets weirder.
Oh, sign me up.
Yeah.
What does it look like?
A seagull, but with dark ruby red bloodshot eyes.
Ooh.
A beak as sharp as a carving knife. Wings torn, charred. And torn. I've written that twice. That was going really well.
So torn.
They're fucking torn.
Yeah,
I sound it.
It's rotting and decaying. Maggots crawl in and out of holes in its body, feeding on what little flesh it has left.
Fucking hell, that's descriptive.
That was really good.
Thank you.
I like that, Alfie. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've gone to town on this.
I've got a real image in my mind right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, can we put a little effect on his voice there so it's like a bit echoey in that, please, for that?
I was going to add a question involving AI, but it would have only worked for the visual listeners, that from your description of what they look like, we could put it into an AI generator.
I did that for mine last night.
Did you actually?
I did that for mine.
I was going to put it in so then we could, maybe we'll do it. In the edit, what we'll do is, with the... descriptions that you guys have said, we'll type that into a photo generator and see what it creates.
Yeah.
Because that was very descriptive. Yours is going to be funny, Robbie.
My Chinese man wearing a tight Armani t-shirt.
I'm excited to see it.
All right.
Okay, so what does it look like? Where did this legend supposedly begin? Is there a specific location, historical event, or person associated with it?
Yes.
A lovely young man was out with his friends and his partner in Great Yarmouth. They'd just played a round of mini-golf and had worked up quite the appetite. As it is custom when one goes to the beach, the group decided to indulge in themselves in a British dish known as fish and chips. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I was at Yarmouth the other day, got fish and chips.
Not interesting.
Yeah, why is he talking like this?
Who? Him. No, because I'm saying that's not interesting.
No, you have to.
To paint a picture.
He's doing it in his urban legend voice.
Yeah, he's written quite, some answers.
But he's quite. Is that something?
Yeah.
I went with more stage presence.
No, because I'm imagining him telling it under a blanket.
Exactly the vibe I was going for.
Under a blanket.
I'm almost whispering.
In a loft. All right. He's sharing ghostly stories.
Yeah.
In a loft.
Are you the boy in the seagull?
No. Because he's in a seagull.
And I'm here. He's not. Okay, good to know. Okay, where did we get to? They're having fish and chips in Yarmouth.
And chips. The boy was scared of seagulls, so decided to eat his lunch with a coat over his head so as not to attract the evil beasts in the sky. They would circle unsuspecting lunch eaters and attack them and steal their food in order to satisfy their insatiable hunger and desire for chips. Seagulls. Another, much larger and nastier boy knew of his companion's totally that's autocorrect there, and I should have proofread this, and that is on me, and I'll take the loss of points.
Okay, that's okay.
Totally rational fear of gulls. So he decided to throw a piece of bread near his friend in order to attract the sky demons. A harmless joke, a light bit of bullying. They killed that boy.
The seagulls killed the boy.
Dead.
Wow, surely that's on the big friend, isn't it?
They pecked out his eyes and feasted on his flesh.
Fucking hell, that's intense.
It conspires that the bully had forgotten one important fact. I forgot I'd written this. seagulls love brown meat.
What?
That's the pit where you're supposed to go, oh my God, I threw bread at Alfie.
I knew it was about me.
Oh. That was my bit for you to
Do you know about this, Robbie?
What, like Bruce Willis was a ghost the whole time?
Yeah.
Jack once threw bread near Alfie knowing seagulls would go for it, and he's scared of seagulls.
Yeah.
Right, but you've already said it's not you to us.
It's inspired on true events.
So it's not me.
So is
then.
It you?
No.
Right, fine then.
So it's just a random...
But that was a little Easter egg for you to... For hopefully Jack to go, oh my God, like maybe this is about...
You don't think I knew from the start that this was about this exact situation that we lived?
A minute ago, I looked at the reason, and this was you.
Yeah.
The only reason we didn't think it was is because you specifically said it wasn't you.
Yeah. So you never know.
No, you do know if you say it's not you.
No, but he's saying next time you throw bread at him, he might get killed by a seagull, so you need to be careful.
I know, but if at the start of Sixth Sense, you go into the cinema, you sit down, and one of the characters goes... Bruce Willis is not a ghost.
Yeah.
You're going to be thinking the whole time, probably a ghost.
No, you're going, oh, he's not a ghost. And then there's a little thing of, wait, is he a ghost? And then now you don't know what's going on. I shouldn't have written that line. That was about, I should have skipped over that line.
So we wanted to hear.
Apologies. The dead boy's spirit attached onto one of the seagulls, trapping him inside the thing he fears most for the rest of eternity. Wandering the beaches of Yarmouth, looking for revenge on anyone who dares to eat chips on its shores.
Everyone. Literally everyone in Yarmouth.
All good?
You'll see.
Okay,
well.
Whew. So what sparked the initial whispers and rumours?
At first, it was obvious. People started seeing a massive, half-dead, rotting seagull killing people who had chips. Once his hunger was satisfied, he would fly across the sea, sometimes for many years, decades, centuries even, just working up an appetite. People would forget and the seagull would fade into folklore. But once he was hungry again, he would return, in turn creating more traumatic stories for people to pass down through generations.
Okay, so sometimes you forget about him existing and then he swoops in. What noise does he make?
You'll see.
Oh, I like okay. that. Okay. I like that. You all right, Robbie?
Little check of stuff. So he... He goes away for centuries at a time.
Yeah.
In Great Yarmouth.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been a resort since 1760.
At least. This has been going on the way...
Well, no, that's when it is. So even if they open up a fish and chip shop in 1760...
No.
For several centuries.
They bought their own chips.
He's only been there once or twice.
They bought their own chips.
Who did?
The group.
What, to Yarmouth?
Yeah.
That didn't exist.
Yarmouth existed. It was there. It wasn't just underwater.
So people just randomly brought fish and chips to an empty place.
By the sea. They wanted to eat their dinner by the sea.
They were playing mini golf there as well, remember?
Yeah, they bought their own.
Mini golf.
Mini golf there.
1700.
Well, no, they bought their own.
And then centuries. So this has happened once ever.
No, sometimes centuries. Well, often, often decades. Sometimes it depends when he gets hungry
again.
Okay,
so 1760, it was on the first day and he goes away for more than one century. That's two centuries.
No, no, he doesn't.
It's 1960.
No, he doesn't. Sometimes he'll go away
then,
for a week. It's listen, bloody open those okay. old ears of yours, all right?
Right.
Here we go. Sometimes decades. Sometimes centuries, okay, so sometimes years, sometimes months.
So sometimes centuries means at least one time he's gone away for multiple centuries, right?
He did it once.
Okay, so 1760, Yarmouth starts.
Mm.
If he goes away for at least 200 years, which is the smallest...
No, 100.
That's century. You said centuries. That's multiple centuries. That's
all right,
200. 200 years. That takes us to 1960.
Yeah.
So it's happened once... And then again in 1960.
No, and then in the 60s, it's happened a shit ton.
Right, okay.
I really miss Stevie's urban legend at this point.
Right. I don't.
It feels like this has been going on.
Okay, so...
Seagull's back.
Sparked initial whispers we've done, yeah?
Yeah.
Sorry, I got lost in all of the centuries. Has anyone claimed to have experienced the legend firsthand?
Oh, yes. But they were seldom believed.
Speaking like a robot.
Speaking
What's
like,
wrong with that?
Speaking like you're a CBBS presenter.
Oh, yes. But they were seldom okay. believed.
Like Harry Kane when he read that story about the mouse.
My little brown mouse.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, how would I do it? Oh, yes. But they were seldom believed.
Just talk.
There are many tales of unaccompanied beach-walking chip-eaters who go missing over the years. People who have... I really thought you were going to react to that a bit more, but you just...
He did that finger thing.
Yeah. Because it's implying that they didn't go missing.
That could mean anything to the audio listeners. Yeah. He did that finger thing.
Yeah.
Quotations.
That's the one.
People who have witnessed attacks are labelled as lunatics, attention seekers who are scared of seagulls and so don't want anyone to eat chips near them in order to attract the birds. One girl managed to film the beast flying across the ocean when she was on a cruise with her family.
Where was she going?
Thank you for asking. She was actually going to the Bahamas.
On a boat.
From Yarmouth.
That's wild.
No, just across the ocean.
So she's going from where?
She left...
Where was she leaving from?
She left somewhere on the coast.
Yeah, not Yarmouth.
Of what country?
England.
Oh, right. Not Yarmouth, but she's just driving past.
No, but the seagull...
Had he just been on holiday to the Bahamas?
He was gone, wasn't he? He was...
Where'd he go?
He scours the sea until he's ready to be hungry again.
So does he eat people in other places that aren't Yarmouth?
No.
Ah, just don't go Yarmouth then, ever. No, you're fine.
You'll see.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Is that everything
you actually
for...
won't see. That is a massive plot hole in this.
Is that everything for this? She saw him on a cruise?
She saw him, filmed him.
Yeah.
Look back at the footage, nothing there.
Ah, all in her head.
Everyone was like, go to the cinema on board this cruise, you've lost your head.
It is hard, this, because we're going, like, this thing didn't happen, and Alfie's going, here's more of stuff that didn't happen. Yeah. And we're going, oh.
Yeah.
That's why you've got to get immersed.
Flaws of this episode.
Well, that's every urban legend I ever do.
I think mine's holding up.
You've got to immerse yourself in it.
What's not held up?
No, so far, there's no plot hole.
You think you're proving a point, but you're proving mine and Bobby's point.
No, because
none of them should exist.
No, because the point is that you should just immerse yourself in it.
Or not.
Enjoy it.
Or not.
So far, Alfie's is good.
I really enjoyed writing
this. I like it.
I really enjoyed
writing
this.
It's a good bit of fiction.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Where were we? How has the legend affected the community?
I'll tell you.
You don't need to say.
No, but I'm setting the scene. Let me set the scene.
Right.
I'll now set the scene.
It is getting a bit meta.
Yeah.
But I now can't not say something to lead in.
Yeah. Just go into it. Go.
One day, every few years, 300 years, few tell, whenever the fucking thing comes back and it's hungry again, the community of Yarmouth is terrorised. torn apart both metaphorically and literally. Then the gull flies over the sea, the community rebuilds itself, and the tale of the gruesome gull of Yarmouth fades into folklore once again.
Just stop living in Yarmouth.
But it fades into folklore. People don't believe it.
So the second time it happened was the 60s.
Oh, fuck the dates off, mate.
And since then it's going to folklore. Fucking cameras and shit then.
Yeah.
It doesn't appear on footage. That was a plot hole I thought of, which is why I added the cruise.
No, I like that. Bonus, Alvin, bonus point.
Thank you. Everyone's obviously forgotten about it since then, yeah.
But why else would she be on the sea?
She's just watching from the shore, filming it over the sea.
No.
She's on a cruise to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
From some unnamed place in the UK, but going past Yarmouth.
Right. Yes.
Okay, cool. Effect of the community. Can you summon the legend? Are there specific rules or rituals associated with the legend?
Why is he calling this thing a legend as well? You seem to really into murder.
Yes, chippies. If a greedy guts gets too many chippies and starts throwing it near their friends who are scared of seagulls, the gull will appear from across the ocean and tear apart the bully and steal their chippies.
So if you're not scared of seagulls, you're fine.
If someone throws stuff near someone else to try and attract seagulls, the gull will appear. It will appear anyway when it's hungry.
Are you?
But that will also summon it.
Have you been
if it's not hungry and it's gone out to sea, it will still turn up at any point if you do that?
If you do that, yes, correct.
So all this going away for centuries is bollocks then, because all it takes is someone to throw a chip.
No. If Jack threw a chip at Stevie and Stevie doesn't mind the gulls, it's not going to. It doesn't like... It's vengeful, remember? It doesn't like the bullying.
Doesn't like the bullying. So it's
that specific type of bullying.
A vigilante seagull.
Right. Yeah, right. The vigilante seagull. And it, are you all right? Like, since Jack did that to you, have you been holding this in for a while?
Have you seen the video of that?
Yeah.
That is genuine fear.
Well, we could put it in. If you've still got the video, we could put it in this episode.
Nah, because that was nasty. So
that was I was screaming.
That's actually quite harsh.
Yeah, I know.
That's like when you were throwing a Snickers.
Right, there's
another little sad bit of the episode.
Oh, okay. So how does the legend manifest itself?
Could you explain that a little bit more?
Well, how does it appear? I guess you've already described it, but does it, like, do you just hear it first? Does it just suddenly appear in front of you?
Depends what way you're looking, doesn't it?
Well, that actually, well, it flies from across the sea.
There we go.
You see a dot in the sky.
We know how things...
No.
And the dog gets bigger.
Yeah. And then it becomes... And then, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
From the Bahamas.
And what does it do when it appears?
It lets out a squawk that sounds like the spirit's final scream from when he was killed.
Can you give us an example?
Ah!
So like any other seagull then?
No, that was a human sound.
Oh, was it?
Ah!
That sounds more seagull.
Yeah, but it's coming out of a seagull's voice box, but he it is got, apparently a human.
It is a seagull sound.
Yeah, it is a seagull sound.
He got ripped apart by seagulls originally.
He just went...
He got... His eyes were taken out, and he was pecked to death by seagulls, and he went, ah!
I can't do it justice.
I want a genuine...
I'm not a good actor.
Put some welly into it.
Okay,
good,
that's
good,
better.
Good,
thank
good,
you.
Good.
If a seagull made that noise, I'd be fucking terrified.
That is what I wanted to get that image terrifying. In your head, because it opens its beak and then you're thinking it's going to go, but it goes,
okay, like a human. Yeah.
Right, good.
Can you imagine how fucking scary that'd be? Full of maggots.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, does it have any weaknesses?
Yes. Seagulls.
What?
What?
For remember this, the spirit was scared of seagulls. So if there are any already around you, it shall not come near you.
There's always in
there. So if Jack threw a chip at you...
Directly around you, it will come, you know... So if there's some about, that's all right. But if you're sat amongst some seagulls...
If you've got a force field of seagulls around you, it won't attack you.
If there's seagulls, let's say but, 2 metres either side of you.
If Jack throws a chip at you... He'll start coming, but so will loads of other seagulls.
This, no, it won't though. It won't.
I'll be making that noise.
Because this seagull is rapid.
Okay.
Like, imagine the water, yeah? It's like when a plane flies across and it goes, when the water starts passing.
Like a sonic boom territory.
Yeah.
That is actually a really cool
feature.
I like that.
Well, thank you.
Is it possible to escape it?
Yes.
Not be scared, you said, didn't you?
To break the curse, no, to escape it, so that it's already there.
Right.
To break the curse, you must perform a ritual of chips.
What?
Lay some fish and chip paper down and bow your head, offering chips to the gull.
1760.
Repeat this. Yeah, they couldn't do it back then. This right. is now.
Right, okay. I like this. I like this.
Repeat this poem 5 times.
Oh.
Written a poem.
We're sorry, Mr. Gull, that...
Fuck, you're dead.
We're sorry, Mr. Gull, that the boy was so mean, throwing all his chips at you, laughing at your screams. We offer you these chips to eat so that you may let us be.
5 times.
Didn't rhyme, did it?
No.
You're a singer-songwriter, aren't you?
It's a half rhyme.
Right.
You got to do it 5 times.
We're sorry, Mr.
No,
Gull.
No,
but
no,
also,
no,
no, like, as in, to be able to get rid of him, you've meant to do that 5 times. That's long.
But here, so,
and
as
rapid.
You start... Right, no, so, this is, I thought you might say this, vroom, comes across the sea, but he sees the paper there, right?
Yeah.
Because someone's been suspecting it. The chips are laid out, and they're already starting to bow, so then he perches, hovers in the air, and waits to see if you do the poem.
Right.
5 times, and
I'd like
you
to
do
see
it.
A seagull like this. Hover in the air.
It can, of course I can.
Which still, Mr. Gull. They
okay.
kind of do that, don't they?
Yeah, they yeah. do hover, yeah.
Go, yeah. They don't, you could just go yammers and see it.
They'd move, though, wouldn't they? Mm.
And that's a sign of respect. The gull will take the chips, and if he eats them all up, the curse may be lifted, and he will return to his human form. He's never done that yet.
Right.
He
right.
doesn't. Well, it might happen, but
the
we
gull,
know
the gull. Yeah. No, but that, this is a bit of lore. The gull himself doesn't know that. But okay. if he was to...
Maybe.
Okay.
He'll turn back.
Right.
Well, we're going on to the final question. I have a feeling I know the answer to it already. But urban legends often carry a lesson or cautionary tale. What message does your legend convey?
Do not, under any circumstances, ever, ever throw chips at someone on the beach, especially if they're scared of birds. Or you may just come face to face with the gruesome gull of Yarmouth.
Well, that's taught me. That has taught me. Go. I like that.
Thank you.
Very good.
Big fan. Well thought out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I very much did like it. Not really plot holes either, other than the centuries.
Loads of plot holes.
Tell me some plot holes and I'll fill them in.
You, 1 minute you're like, oh, it never comes back. Oh, it always comes back.
That's
oh,
not
I'm
a plot hole.
It doesn't come.
No, no. I think the listeners will see that it comes back when it's hungry, cyclically. But if someone is bullying on the beach with the chips,
him.
That's it will also come back for that.
So he's not hungry. He's eating it for no reason now.
Yeah, well, he's eating it for revenge at that point.
It, yeah, it, that's just to kill.
Okay.
So he doesn't eat it?
He'll have a little peck.
Okay.
He doesn't eat it. He just kills the bully.
I'm happy with it.
You're happy with it?
Don't need
scarability.
To
any more plot holes? Or...
No, all right. No, it's all right. It's
scarability,
all right.
Scarability... Personally, like a 2 or a 3, because I'm not scared of seagulls.
Okay, so it should be zero.
But
then
not, again,
zero,
you're not
then.
Scared of
but
a
if
half
I saw
dead
one,
seagull killing someone.
Yeah, if I saw that.
Well, he's not scared of seagulls, so a half dead seagull, he's even less scared
that's,
of, isn't he?
That's half,
half the job done, isn't it?
Yeah. Did I mention that it's 30 foot tall?
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. Is it a tooth fairy? Good. Okay, no, I like it. I like it. Scarability, yeah, I guess if it's a zombie seagull, it'd 8. Be like an 8. Yeah, yeah, it'd be scary. And then believability, obviously low. But
what?
I do think Jack did chuck chips at you, so that'll get a couple of points, so maybe 3 out of 10.
I'm sorry for chucking
Wait,
chips at you.
You mark these urban legends on believability.
We used to. We've ended it off.
But what's...
We're doing it.
They're not supposed... So Robbie's going to win because his is just a bloke.
No, he
that's not fair.
He'll win the
believable... I've put loads of effort into creating a magical story.
He'll win the believable part, but not, it doesn't mean you win. It's not like if I get to the end and you've got a 10 out of 10 and a 4 out of 10, you've got a 14 and that's your score.
So there's just no point in the match.
Yeah, there was never any point to doing it. That was the point. That's why Jack asked me.
So I still have a chance.
Yeah, mate, you're doing all right so far.
I can tell you now... I have never been more nervous to sit and read some answers in my life.
Really?
Why?
Yeah. Because it's just, you can't, like...
It's not a good feature.
You're both very creative and funny, and just, that wasn't.
Oh, you're saying they're not?
No, they are good, aren't
but
they?
But they weren't then.
But it's
they're
not.
They're not good. They're as good as we could do.
I thought they were both quite good. We've laughed a lot.
Okay, okay.
I think we've had some good moments in this episode.
Yeah. Right, all right, all right.
Jack D. D.
Are you worried because you've gone full silly?
I've gone weird.
Okay.
Okay, right. That's fine.
That's good.
Fine. We've had the Tooth Bastard. We've had the Gruesome Gull of Great Yarmouth. Jack Dean, what is the name of your legend?
The Sin Pig.
Interested.
I like that. I think that is a very catchy name.
It's got legs, isn't it?
Yeah. The Sin Pig.
Has it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
What would you like to know about sinners?
Oh, he's got a nickname.
No, he ain't got a nickname.
He's got a nickname.
Well, that is the nickname. Sin Pig. It's not his birth name.
Well, I don't know. You haven't told me anything yet, mate.
Okay,
why are you already arguing?
Yeah.
Creating your own
you
arguments.
You know, I'm... Okay. Sin Pig. What malevolent force or entity drives the legend? Is it a vengeful spirit, a cursed object, blah, blah, blah?
The Sin Pig is a ravenous pig that scurries about in the night, scaling houses and entering the rooms of those who sin. It derives from late 1800s and is often taught to children as a deterrent, warning them not to sin, for the Sin Pig will rip them to shreds in the night. Believed to be sent by God himself, the Sin Pig's main...
God. Hell.
God sent a sin pig to rip kids apart.
If they're sinning, if they're not abiding by the rules.
His Old Testament God, isn't he?
He's
nuts.
Yeah. The Sin Pig's main mission is to stop people from masturbating.
Okay. Specific sin.
Fair enough.
For masturbating is life's biggest sin.
Oh, well, it's up there, but...
Much like normal pigs... It will use its... Much like how a normal pig will use its snout to hunt truffles, the Sin Pig uses its abnormally large snout to sniff out people masturbating, as masturbating is a sin.
What does it smell like?
What? Masturbating? Mm. More like foisty.
Why did I ask that?
Why did you ask that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, so you get the gist.
What does it look like?
The Sin Pig is 10 times the size of normal pigs.
Fucking hell!
And has enormous yellow eyes that glow bright when it's angry.
Ooh.
The Sin Pig is also said to have polychoria, which is the condition where in one of his eyes, it has two pupils. So basically, if you ever see a pig and you want to think, is that the Sin Pig? Check its eyes.
I'll probably check the fact it's 10 times the size of all other pigs. We'll probably give it away.
Yeah.
And it's scaling
and it's
up walls.
Flying, yeah.
Well, how's it scaling up walls? It could just step onto the
wait,
the
I need to see the eyes.
Yeah. Is it? No, that's a bit, I don't know. It's wearing sunglasses, can't tell. What? Just pointing at me.
It sometimes wears sunglasses.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Many who claim to have seen the Sin Pig have claimed it has an upside-down cross branded into its forehead. Like how cattle have numbers branded into them, the Sin Pig has the Antichrist logo between its eyes.
So God's done that, has he?
Yeah.
God's gone, let's put the symbol of the Antichrist.
God doesn't want to do the dirty work, so he's gone.
He's blaming it on...
You go ahead. He did floods in the olden days.
Yeah, but he's never sent a malevolent pig, has he? Until true. Now.
No, but he did wipe out most of the earth apart from two of each animal.
True, so he can be a cunt.
Well, he might have his reasons.
The Sin Pig is often wearing a suit too. It's not clear why, I just thought it'd be funny.
Like an actual suit.
Yeah, that is quite good.
Yeah. A massive suit.
See, that cheapens it for me a bit.
All right.
That turns it from a proper horror film to like Sharknado.
All right, it can take it off. It's not wearing a suit when you see it.
Okay, I'm in.
Okay, so 10-foot pig, yellow eyes, climbs walls, murders anyone who masturbates.
Yeah.
Cool.
How do you murder him?
Okay. TBC.
Where did the legend supposedly begin? Is there a specific location, historical event, or person associated with it?
The earliest known report of the Sin Pig was in a Dallas newspaper in 1901. A 19-year-old man named Jack Soffigan was found mauled.
Jack Soffigan. Yes.
Jack Soffigan.
Soffigan.
Jack Soffigan.
Off again.
Jack Soff.
Jack off again.
Oh, Jack.
Jack Soffigan.
Jacking off again. Nice.
Jack, was found. Yeah. Was yeah, but that's not the point.
But he didn't get it.
Was found mauled to death in the outhouse of his farm. And when the sheriff arrived on the scene, he claimed he saw between 7 and 25 pigs eating his body. Locals began discussing why the pigs would turn on Jack, who was a really good pig owner. All the pigs usually loved him, but further reports by the same sheriff later claimed that there was one big pig who seemed to be the leader of the pigs, more intelligent than the rest, who was egging on the other pigs to eat the man who was probably masturbating at the time.
Do you mean he was probably masturbating?
The sheriff didn't get there in time, but he thought he's got his cock in his hand.
Later on, first of all, they didn't mention... The Sin Pig. They just say there are loads of pigs.
Yeah.
So pigs what? Pigs are quite big, like, what, 2 meters long, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're big.
But this one 20-meter long pig. Mm. And it's just later on someone mentions it.
Yeah, well, it's been passed through time, so it's probably been added a little bit more on, a little bit more on, a little bit more on.
It's like Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So it's not 20 foot.
It probably is now by the time we're hearing it.
Because he's eaten loads.
Oh, right. Okay, so it's growing.
It's growing.
So at the time it was normal sized pig.
Yeah.
When you, this is a silly question, it's really immature, but I do want to know the answer.
Yeah.
You know rigor mortis?
Yeah.
If you die with
an erection. Yeah.
Does it stay like that?
I think rigor mortis takes a while to hit in.
Well, will it go up again then?
No, it'll just be solid but floppy.
Will it?
I'd imagine so.
Be interesting, wouldn't it?
If there's any doctors listening,
no.
Can
no
you
homework.
Let us know
no
if homework for them. Unerect penises become hard no, when oh, dead?
What do you want to know about the sim pig?
Oh, I was already asking what I wanted to know. Where were we there? What sparked the initial whispers and rumours?
Is that where
you kind of answered that within the first case there?
Yeah, I've just put there's lots of reported sightings of the sin pig, mainly across America. There have been sightings in Japan, England, and Finland too.
Specific?
Yeah, well.
Did you just name a few countries you could think of?
Yeah.
Okay. Has anyone claimed to have experienced the legend firsthand?
Yeah, just said in America and Finland and that. Yeah, that I was answering the wrong question, so let's just take that as the answer to that one
okay.
as well.
Okay, I was going
to
say, because I thought they died.
Yep.
They had. How has the legend affected the community?
Okay, now I've got a bit for this, right? So there's one town in Wisconsin called Marshfield.
Yep.
They only have a population of how many people do you think, Robbie? 20,000, but they have had over
really low pool. Sorry,
1,000.
You said only.
Is this a real place?
Yeah, but they only have, but they've had over 200 reporting sightings of the sim pig, meaning one in 100 people have included the sim have encountered the sim pig.
Wow.
The town now once a year hold a small festival called Sim Pig Sunday, in which the final Sunday of October, all the town's residents gather in the center to try and summon the sim pig by humming and chanting together in synchronicity whilst wearing pig masks. This is the festival's official song.
Here we go. Cameras. Yeah, stay down because the camera.
Really try. I don't want silly singing.
Little piggy. Sorry, I just realised that's my bad hand.
Yeah, that's way
too bad. Little piggy, you can't do much. These are my privates I'm allowed to touch. So I'll grab my bit with my two palms. This little piggy can do no harm. Then they spin, and they spin, and they go, and then they go.
Oh, I'm so glad we did this episode.
And they go, little piggy, don't control my fate. Stay away as I masturbate. If little piggy don't like my
podcast, has so much range. Like we were talking about your health anxiety 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. He was telling a really lovely story about remembering Noah, and now you're singing a song about pig wanking.
Are you out of breath?
What's happening?
If little piggy that's don't like my hard-ons, I'll turn piggy into bacon lard-ons.
What a lard-on!
That was good. A little bit of bacon, yeah, that's good.
One more.
You're shattered.
Little piggy. Sorry. Little piggy, I do Ooh, not sin.
Mixed up.
I do not sin. I even put the tissues in the bin. So let us live a life of fat, or you'll end up as a bacon bat. So they do that one. They do that.
How does it go again?
They do that once a year.
And does it pig come?
What?
Does the pig come to see them at that point?
No, it's against that.
No. Yeah. It never turns up.
Right.
Never turns up.
So they don't okay.
I work for West Ham.
JWP's just watched that.
Is that it for how it affected the community?
So they go, and then everyone runs around in circles pretending to masturbate together. The people of Marshfield believe this warns off the sin pig for the next 24 hours so they can live peacefully for the next day without the worry of sin pig. Right?
I cannot imagine how many people are now on the phone to Ticketmaster to ask their refund policy. Cannot imagine. All of them. Phone lines down.
We've lost the tour bus.
Agent Flux ripping up their contract.
Oh.
Okay, so that's how it affected the community. Okay.
That was a great song, by the way.
That was very good.
Yeah. Thank you.
So that's how you scare it off and that stops it from coming. Is it possible to summon the legend?
Only way to summon it is to sin, as we've already...
Okay, yeah, so you summon it by... Yeah.
And it's only, just to be clear, the sin... is just wanking.
Wanking, yeah.
Doesn't care about murder and stuff.
No.
What about
school, like, teach it to kids?
Sexual stuff with somebody else.
Well, if it's in marriage, fine. If it's out of marriage, therefore
but
it's
will
a
the,
sin.
But does the sin pig cover that too?
Yeah.
You are breathing.
It does cover that too.
So I'm knackered. What?
So it covers that as well.
You can have sex with someone.
In marriage?
No, out of marriage, because that's not...
Sinning, though. Still sinning.
Well, no, you said it was only wanking.
It's mainly wanking.
No, you said only.
He also dabbles in full penetration.
Yeah. So, it's any sexual contact, then.
It's all sins, but he focuses...
No, you said it wasn't all sins.
Wait, it's
you
the
said
sin it was pig, it's not the wanking pig.
You specifically said it was just wanking a second ago.
It's mainly wanking, to be honest.
Okay.
Is it just wanking or not?
He prioritises wanking.
That
like, if he's going through his inbox and it's like couple shagging out of marriage, he'll go, I'll do that. And then it's if it's Timmy's having a tug, he'll go, I'm going Timmy's then.
So murder.
Timmy sounds too
murder
young.
Less important than all this. Yeah.
Timmy sounds under 16.
Yeah.
So like
this is taught in schools, Alf, to teach kids not to do that.
Okay. Okay. You can summon it. How does the legend manifest itself?
When the sin pig appears, it's deathly silent, so you don't even notice it's in your room.
Then it's 20 fucking feet big! Yeah.
Does it maybe...
through the wall.
Does it shapeshift into smaller...
Yeah.
Into the tooth fairy.
Then it gives...
Oh, right, so his could be... That's fine, that size. But the fact the tooth fairy is a little bit bigger than you imagine in your head, that was bollocks.
Then it gives three big oinks. It goes... Really, really loud in your face.
Actually. Yeah.
So you're laying there, doing shit, and then
doing
all,
what?
Having a, and then all of a sudden,
with your eyes closed.
And
yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Sometimes, and then you look, and the pig's all up in your face, and then you're fucked. It stands up on its hind legs. It darts over to you, and it snuffles you to death.
Ooh, that's horrible.
So, do you want to know what that looks like?
Nope.
Can I do it on you?
Yeah. Where are you going to do it?
Just like this. Like that. So it gets all up in your crevices. It's horrible.
Oh, that was weird.
How does it kill you? Suffocation?
Nah, it eats you.
So the snuffling's irrelevant.
It does that to lure you into a false sense of security.
You're tickling. You go, ah!
Yeah, and then it eats your fucking stomach.
Okay, hell. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no. Mm.
So that kind of answers what it does when it appears as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Does it have any weaknesses?
X-Men.
That's good. That's a little
That's
reference.
Nice.
A
little throwback.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little throwback to something I was no part of.
And can you escape it?
You can't escape the sin pig once it hears you masturbating. So the only way to not encounter the sin pig is to live a life without sin. Don't masturbate.
What if you masturbate quietly?
Sometimes you can get away with it if it's super quiet, but the moment there's one little noise, you're snuffled.
I probably just wouldn't bother.
Yeah.
Okay. Hell. I'm so, so.
Oh, that's a risky.
I cannot wait to see the poster for this episode.
Yeah, shit. Right.
Urban legends often carry a lesson or cautionary tale. What message does your legend convey?
Okay. Right.
That's.
Yep. Are we done?
That's the sim pig.
That's the sim pig?
That is the sim pig, yeah.
Perfect.
Okay.
Jay.
Scarability?
I don't know if that was amazing. Or not.
I can't tell.
I think the song was really good. I like the song a lot.
What are you showing me? You have to tell it.
No.
Jack's written a story.
I've written an origin novel for it.
There's more, is there?
You've written an origin for it. Oh, that's a massive story. You have to read it.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah.
It'll take 10 minutes.
No.
That's fine. Oh, I feel like I want to read it.
Right, I'll read it.
Hard journey on the way back, innit? Yeah.
But this is where apparently the first ever sighting of the sim pig.
What do you mean apparently? You wrote it.
Do you want the story?
Do we want the story?
I want to listen with no interruptions, no judgment. I'm actually going to close my eyes.
Yeah, if you just read it as a story.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The other option is we don't...
Why is one of your eyes open, Robbie?
That was weird, wasn't it? That was really weird.
Is that how you sleep?
Did you know it was open?
I don't know.
That is so...
Right now?
Yeah. Can you not close your eyes?
I really have.
They don't interrupt. It's just me reading a shit story that I've written. Yeah. I've lost all confidence in this.
Are you not going to tell it?
I'm not telling it. Oh. I will tell it in a future episode if some people show some interest.
I don't want the same big story in a completely random episode.
Yeah. You know,
okay, but if you do
that... no one shows any interest.
Yeah.
You've just got this story on your phone that you've written for nobody.
So if you do do it, I want you not to say, I'm now going to do it. I just want you randomly, midway through an episode, to just start telling the story.
But this pod is that shy. I will do it.
Oh my god. Okay, so if any listeners want to hear the actual story of the sin pig, you'll have to let us know on Twitter, Reddit,
eight
whatever.
Paragraphs.
No, don't.
Oh,
don't.
Fuck.
Yeah. It'll take about 10 minutes to tell it.
Right, Stevie. One sentence as a teaser. One sentence. Look here, don't kill me, for I can offer 100 plums.
Oh, I want to hear it now.
I really like that.
I don't want it.
No?
Okay. I want it, but I don't want it now.
Okay, we'll save it. We'll save it for a future episode if they like this one enough. Yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I meant to pick a winner here. Mm. Believability.
Can I just say, have I kind of bribed it? Because in order to get the story told throughout time, you need to keep it in the forefront of people's minds, and this one may rear its ugly head again one day.
Yeah.
I'll give you a tenner as well.
Will you give me a tenner? Yeah. Will you actually?
I care about this more than they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, as an urban legend, the one that would tell best as a story easily would probably be Alfie's.
Thank you. Thought that was going to happen.
However.
How embarrassing.
However, I think I can't not let Jack win because I need people to tell this story and I will sit there going, pig, piggy. I need to see that again and hear that again. And I want our listeners to do that. Maybe we'll get them to do it when we're on tour.
Yeah, I'll do it on stage if you want.
No. Because I people coming to watch and stuff.
What if we just do a 10-minute segment on tour where he tells the story so the only place you can get it
is if you come on tour? I promise you, if you buy a ticket, you won't have to listen to that story.
The interval. We all go and chill backstage and Jack stays and tells it.
To our empty crowd.
All right, good. And we'll get a 20-foot pig.
Yeah, people are just being really disrespectful, going to get drinks and talking on there. I'll give you 100 pounds.
Okay. Oh, thanks for listening.
People who haven't heard this episode just come along and he's randomly telling a story about pigs, something he's masturbating.
Oh. This has been Jack Mate's Happy Hour podcast with Alfie Indra, Stevie White, Robbie Knox and me, Jack Mate. This has been Dream Urban Legends. The final nail in the urban legends coffin, I'd say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think I'm done.
It's been a nice run. No. We'll see you next Monday for another main show. You're not here, are you?
No, I'm going to Disneyland.
Enjoy Disneyland.
Thanks.
That sounded pretty sarcastic. I hope it makes you very happy. See you in a bit.
Bye. Happyhourlive.co.uk. Tickets on sale now.
Jack Mate's Happy Hour.